This afternoon we are dealing with, as my dear brother Prakash Mathew sir, he was saying, the biggest disaster, I think, is that we are unaware of what is happening in our society and in our life regarding cultural change. Earlier we had a word called cultural shock, but in these days we don't have anything like that. So we almost accept everything. And changes are happening and we are unaware of the differences and the intensity of the difference and the problems we are facing. And that's what makes it more dangerous, more difficult. So to say something about the cultural change, especially to a Christian and a student, I would like to draw your attention to the story of a student who was studying in a foreign university, especially in a hostel. So what happened to him? I just want to tell the story. Maybe you're wondering about whom I was saying when I said about a person, a student who was studying in a foreign university in the Bible. Can you just imagine who was that person? Huh? It was Daniel. Daniel was studying in a foreign university. Right? He was not studying in his own land. He was forced to study, or he was taken. In fact, you know, it was not his choice. Most of the time we love to go to a foreign land and study there, but it was not the choice of Daniel. He was forced to go to a place where it was a strange land. It was a strange land in every way. And that's the reason why even the people who were employed in that land, they call it a strange land. In Psalms 137 we see, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, right? They said about Babylon. In fact, they were taken from Jerusalem of Judea, okay? Yeah, the thing, when we think about what is happening in these days, or if we are trying to compare these two cities, one is Jerusalem and the other one is Babylon. Of course, Daniel must have been taken from Jerusalem. And he was planted in a new land, a new city. What is the name of the city? Babylon. See, if we are comparing these two cities today, it might be like comparing Trivandrum and New York. Suppose you are staying in Trivandrum or Cochin or Kottayam, or even in Erode or Salem, and you are taken. Taken means, you know, you get a chance to be in New York, and, you know, you get a chance to study there in a university, and the best university, the King's University. Will you be happy? What will be your response? You say, wow, it's great. Certainly I know that this would be our first response. Am I right? We love it because that's what we are looking for. All these people in these days, they all want to go to a foreign university and study there and find a fortune. Am I right? But these people, especially I'm telling about Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, it was not a fascinating factor for them to be there, or it did not really touch their heart or encourage their heart, but they were a little sad. In fact, not little sad, they were really sad. Because in their mind, they always wanted to be in Jerusalem. And that was their dream. That was in their mind all the time. They were only dreaming going back to Jerusalem. If we were in their place, certainly we would have been singing songs of the Lord in a strange land. Because maybe we'll say, come on, let's celebrate. Because God has given us a chance to come out of that old Jerusalem. And God has given us all the facilities here in New York. Okay? But these people were spiritual and they always wanted to continue as an Israelite. And they always wanted to cherish the memories they had in their babyhood in Jerusalem. And they wanted to continue as Hebrews. They never wanted to become like Babylonians. They always wanted to see that they are keeping their identity as Hebrews or Jewish people. In those days, they were not calling themselves Jews, but they called themselves Israelites or Hebrews. So they were not happy because they were taken from their homeland to dwell in a strange land. But these people, when we say about it, they are coming from very good background. Maybe we can say that they are of royal origin. That's what we see in Daniel, book of Daniel. It's not in the New Testament, okay? It's in the Old Testament. You know, I have seen some skit played by some kids that it was a meeting, and the pastor was preaching from James, and one guy was asking the other guy, "Where is James?" And he just went out. Okay, Daniel chapter 1 verse 3. We say that then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, handsome and skillful in wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to serve in the king's palace. So these people were people of nobility, these people were people of royal origin, and they were people of knowledge. They were even competent to serve the king in king's palace. So don't think that these people were, you know, some village guys or, you know, somebody who is in the streets. No. They were really, you know, learned people, people of knowledge. And king wanted them, that's where we need to understand, king wanted them to teach the letters and language of the Chaldeans. Okay? The letters and the language of the Chaldeans. Why? Because he knew that these people are really of noble origin, and of course they are competent to stand in the presence of the king or in the king's palace, but he wanted to equip them with all the modern things, or, you know, make them fit for the palace. This is where all the cultural changes, all the things that changed their life, you know. So king considered this as something, like, you know, the Hebrew people, of course he knew that they are people with knowledge and wisdom, everything is there, but he thought these people are not fit for modern age. They are not fit for modern age. This is where we understand these things in a spiritual way. Don't think that the people who follow God are inferior people. There's no need for a cultural cringe. There's no need for that. We are not inferior in knowledge and everything. But the world says that you are not fit for the world. So, with all your internal abilities, all the abilities you have, all the things that is inside you, your knowledge, your wisdom, your all kind of good character and everything, you need to learn the language of the modern world or the world where we dwell. We need to see that this is, when we take it spiritually, we understand that it is just like a spiritual man is living in a world which is not fit for him. Or you can call it, you can call Babylon the world. Okay? You can call Jerusalem, maybe it is the spiritual world, and they are coming out of it, and because God has allowed it, of course. Otherwise, you know, Nebuchadnezzar would never be able to capture the city Jerusalem and never could do all the things that he did to Jerusalem. It's all God's plan and it's all God's design. It's the same thing that is happening in our life. We are saved and we are put back to the world, and God wants us to live in this world, and the world says, no, you are not fit for the world. We will teach you something which you failed to learn in your spiritual realm. Okay, all these things, they accept everything. Nebuchadnezzar says that these boys were learned people, they were people of nobility, people of royal blood, and of course they have knowledge. That's what we see, endowed with their, they are without blemish, handsome and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to serve in the king's palace. But we have everything, but we do not know the language of the Chaldeans. We do not know the culture, the letters of the Chaldeans. My friends, this is exactly what we feel when we are in the world. All the things that we learn from the scriptures, all the things that Jesus, through his spirit, the spirit of the Lord, teaches us, is not enough for the world. You get me, my friends? This is the real problem we are facing, and that's what the world says. If you want to live in this world, you need a change. What kind of change? Change in language and culture and letters. A change. It is not just changing the culture and everything, but you know, the first thing they're doing, it's something different. The king considered the Hebrew style and the Hebrew style of dressing and the Hebrew style of, dealing things, these are not enough. Because the world needs doing things in a very, crafty way. Sometimes people say, you're not fit for this world, right? Because, you know, you do not know how to handle these things in a crafty way. You do not know how to bribe people. I've seen many people who are very competent in working in an office was not employed just because they are not ready to practice all the things that normal people do, right? So the world says you are not normal. If you want to become normal, normal means in their sense, what is it? Worldly. That's all. When the world says normal, what is their normality? It is worldliness. To them, that is normal. But to us, it is something that is odd and strange. That's the reason why we are in a strange land. We are in a strange land. It doesn't mean that I do not know the ways in the city, or, you know, I can drive, I can go to a place. It's not a strange land for me, but even in the place where I am born, I'm a stranger. See, first thing that they are doing, of course, they were trying to teach the lessons of the Chaldeans, but the first thing they do, you know, what is it? They are changing the names of these people. They are Hebrew names. What was the name of those people? First of all, it is Daniel. And what is the meaning of Daniel? You know that. God is my judge. Daniel. And what is the name of Hananiah? Yah is favored. And Mishael, it says, I am what is because of God. Mishael. Because all my being, it is related to God, Mishael. And what is the meaning of Azariah? Azariah, Yah is my helper, or Yah is my help. All these names, when you look at it, we see that it ends with either El or Yah. We know that it says about God. So their identity, it was in relationship with God. It says who you are. It is your identity. The name shows who you are. What is your relation with God? You get me, my friends? This is where we need to understand. Sometimes we say, after all, what is in a name? In the ancient days, you know, a name denotes your character and your relation with God, basically. Okay. Daniel, he says, Yah, Yel is my judge. Is my God, and it is he who decides everything in my life. And Hananiah says, I am living because of the favor of Yahweh. I do not have an identity of my own. Everything that I do, it belongs to God, and I am able to do anything and everything. It is just because of God. It is he who strengthens me. And Mishael, he says, I am what is because of God. Everything that is in my life, it's because of God. Like we sing, I live because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. right? Because he lives. So that's the meaning of Mishael. And Azariah, he says, oh, always the Yah is helping me. So the world never wants to see that you are finding an identity in relation with God. So when they are changing their names, in fact, what is happening? They are changing their identity in relationship with God. Their identity is questioned. They were given names with some relation with the heathen gods. Daniel, and we see that it is Belteshazzar. That means Baal is my Lord. What was his name first? It was Daniel. Daniel, what's the meaning of it? El, God is my judge. And now Belteshazzar, it says that Baal is my Lord. See, what's the difference? He never knew Baal when he was in Jerusalem. He never called the name of Baal, even after he reached this big city called Babylon. But still, the world says, oh, you are a person who is considering Baal as your Lord, right? Belteshazzar. And Hananiah, we know that Yah is favored. And Shadrach, Hananiah, they call Shadrach. Shadrach, it is related to moon god, because in those days, moon god was very familiar. And Mishael, I am what is because of God. My identity, my everything, my life, it is because of God. And you know what is Meshach? Meshach says that I am weakened. I am weak. I am weakened. I have no power. I have no power. And Abednego, Azariah, Yah is my helper. Abednego means I am a slave of Nego. Abednego. So how they change their names? To weaken them. It's a thing that is happening always in our life when we think about our modern times. This is what is happening. Belteshazzar, Baal is my Lord. And people come to you and say, oh, you are competent in this thing and that thing. And they give us a worldly identity. A worldly identity. Maybe you are competent in many things and, you know, you are not considering you as a child of God. Rather, they are giving much importance to your competence or worldly things. Or even they are saying that you have the favor of a heathen God. Like that. That's where we need to keep our identity in relation with God. And the second thing, Shadrach, that says about moon god. So maybe they are putting you or, you know, asking you to embrace the names of the heathen gods. It's not just the name, but heathen kind of things. And then Meshach. Meshach means I am weakened. Satan comes and say, you are weak. You have no strength. Earlier you said, because Yahweh is my God, because God is living, I'm also living. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You have all the strength to face tomorrow. But now Satan says, oh, you are weakened. You can do nothing. Many times Satan comes to us and, you know, take away our courage, right? Whenever you face some struggles, Satan comes to you and say, there's no good in depending upon God. This is a very tough time, and I'm sure that you cannot hold what is ahead of you and just leave because you are weakened. And then maybe they will even consider you as a slave to a heathen God. So this is the biggest thing that we face, or, you know, that the world is attacking upon your identity. The world want to make you modern and tell you. Sometimes we say, no, the world is not trying to make me a heathen person. But the word heathen, it is something different. The word heathen, you know, don't think that it comes only when you are worshipping a god of this world, or, you know, a god that is in Hindu mythology or other religion. When you are depending upon, or when you consider somebody who sustains you, that is your God. That's your God. There is a Psalms 121, we see that, shall I look to the mountain? In fact, you know, I look to the mountain. It starts with that. From where my help comes. But the real meaning, it is not that I'm looking to a mountain, but the real meaning, shall I look to a mountain for my help? From where my help comes from? My help comes from not from a mountain, but my help comes from the God who created mountains and also the earth and heavens. And a modern version of the Psalms, it gives some kind of explanation. I was reading it. Shall I look to the mountain gods for my help? Then it says, shall I look to the computer, to the website, to the internet, to the television, to the Google or any place for my help? No, I should not look to these places for my help, because my help comes not from Google, it's not from IBM, it's not from Microsoft. Because that makes it so clear. You get me, my friends? So many times when we read Bible, we just read it and close it down. Shall I look to the mountains for my help? From my help comes from where my help is coming from. But what is the meaning? Should I look? Shall I look to the mountain gods? Mountain gods. Don't think that they are gods of the heathen gods who are sitting in a mountain. Maybe when the Psalms was written, that was the meaning. But in these days, we are not worshipping a mountain god, of course. As we are Christians, maybe we are not worshipping a mountain god, but at the same time, we look for help to many mountains. You get me? Likewise, when the world is trying to change your identity, in those days, they were giving a name related to the heathen gods, but now, maybe they are giving some other name, that's all. Maybe somebody will say that you are a computer wizard. Okay? So, he is good in computer and no one can beat him. Oh, you get a new identity. Okay? Maybe these people will say, he's a man of influence. That's another god. You just tell him, he will make it happen. Okay? You get me? The world is telling us that you are competent. The world says that you can win. The world says that you have your own power. You know which is the biggest god of these days? It is self. The biggest god of these days, it is self. It is a man with self-will. Maybe you will take it as a compliment. But the world is trying to tie you with a heathen god. Is a man with self-will? Yeah. People say, oh, he is a man with self. He is self-reliant. Sometimes we say, he is self-reliant. Oh, he believes that he can do everything. Even we buy a lot of books, how we can win. He is always a winner man. When somebody says, he is a winner man, you are happy. But you know, that is a heathen name. Because the Bible doesn't say about a winner man, the Bible says about an inner man. In these days, no one is worried about the inner man. We are worried about winner man, winner man, winner man, winner man, winner man, winner man. See, that's worldly. I'm not again singing that song, but what I say, that is our mindset. We want to be a winner, always a winner. You want to become a winner, that's even in ICPF meetings, we hear the same thing. You want to become a winner? Yes! Everybody is crying. You want to be holy? I'm sorry to say that. We have lost our emphasis on holiness. We have lost our emphasis on our relation with God. We lost our relation with our godly identity. Rather, we say that you can use Jesus as a means to win. Jesus is no more a person, but he is a means. That's why our songs are winner songs. We always sing songs, winner, winner. and even the preachers, you can win. Many times that is our title that we give in camps. You want to be a winner? That's the question we ask. But the Bible is not saying about a winning man, a successful man, even success. Success is a worldly term. Success is a worldly term. You know what is the biblical term for that? It is blessedness. You're blessed. God is not looking for successful people. At the end times, you know what God says? Good. And do you think that it is good and successful man enter into my joy? Do you think that God is going to say like that? No. You know what he says? Good and faithful servant. The world wants to make us modern. This is what we say. Modern. But the question, do you want to keep your identity in relation with God, or do you want to see that you are appreciated by the world? I tell you, my friends, if the world appreciates you and if the world loves you, that shows that you are a friend of the world. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the world hates you, it is because you do not belong to the world. If you were of the world, certainly the world would have been loving you because you belong to the world. So the only way to get, or you know, the only way to be appreciated and loved by the world is to become part of the world. That is the biggest problem we are facing. Even in the church, we want to see that we are becoming more closer to the world in every way. We look for worldly things. The world is coming. It is embracing. It is embracing. And even maybe you can watch a small message of David Wilkerson. Its name is Anguish, Baptism of Anguish, in the net. He says, I'm not just sad, I'm in a kind of anguish. What is happening to the church? The world is influencing the church where it was supposed to, or you know, the original plan of God, what was it? The church is influencing the world. But it is not happening now. What is happening? The church is influenced by the world. In every respect, certainly I believe that the cultural things have a major role in influencing the church. We want worldly music, we want worldly teaching, we want worldly messages, we want worldly camp. I was just telling, while I was sitting there, even if we need to make an ICPF camp a success, the word success, a success, we need disco dance and KFC outside India most of the time. As an ICPF man, I'm saying it because some other people cannot say that, right? Some other people cannot say that. This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy. Because we are trying to make it more appealing. And we go for entertainment. Once, when I was preaching in an ICPF camp about born-again experience, one of the CGPF members came to me and said, hey, why you are speaking this kind of things in this camp? I said, it is because I know that these people are not born again. Hey, our children are good children. I said, do you think that good children should not be born again? Brother, the children should appreciate it. I told them, if you are looking for an entertainer, you found a wrong person. Because it is not just an ICPF. I cannot tell it about other organizations. The other organizations are also the same. But what I say, we are different and we need to be different. We are not here for entertainment. We are here for a change, transformation. What is needed for student community, it is not entertainment. We have enough entertainment outside. But the world wants us to follow the patterns, the culture, the language, everything of the world. And we get only those things outside. You open the television, you get the letters of the Chaldeans. You go to internet, you get the language of the Chaldeans. I tell it in a spiritual way, right? It's not about the Chaldeans. I say the world. You get everything worldly outside. Am I right? You get everything worldly outside. You tune to your music, you get a worldly music. You go to the campus, you see everything worldly. So you have everything worldly outside. You look at the newspaper, all the advertisements that is appealing to your eyes, and it promotes the world. You get me, my friends? So where will we get things spiritual? That's the question. That's the question. You cannot expect spiritual things in the world. You can expect spiritual things only inside the church, but the disaster, we are coming to the church for spiritual things because we are fed up with the world. Even the world is fed up. That's what John Stott said. The world is looking for a counterculture. That's a word which he used. Because the world is fed up with all that it is going through. They have tried everything. The world has tried everything. The world has tried money. The world has tried politics. The world has tried all kind of economic systems. They tried capitalism. They tried communism. They tried mixed economy. They tried consumerism. They tried everything. The world has tried all kind of entertainments. The world has tried all kind of weapons and everything. They tried everything and they failed. And the world is looking to the church for a counterculture. The sad thing is that when the world is coming and looking for a counterculture, the church has become just another version of the world. John Stott said it is another version. Sometimes I feel to say that a worse version of the world. That's where we need to know where we should draw a line between the world and the church, the worldliness and spirituality. We need to know where to draw the line, because the world is always trying to make us a slave to the world. And even the church. We say that our church is not like in the olden days, you know, our forefathers, they were singing only songs. There was no good mic system and things like that. And we have everything. And we have a big hall. Earlier, you know, we had only a small place to worship. And we didn't even have a place to worship. We were worshiping inside a home, a house. And we have everything in these days. Everything. And what happens? We are trying to become more worldly. We are applying all the things. We are trying to replace Holy Spirit with many things. What was the strength of the ancient, not ancient, the earlier church? Earlier church, I'm not telling about even church of the first century. I'm asking you about the church of 40 years back or 50 years back. You do not know that. But at least you should know what was the strength of that church. It was the Holy Spirit. But we are trying to replace Holy Spirit everywhere. Everywhere. In our conventions and crusades, we are looking for crowd pullers, right, to replace Holy Spirit. And we are using music and in the keyboard. In these days, we know that I'm not against using keyboards and all. Don't think that, like that. But I know that sometimes we think with this keyboard or a drum set, a jazz, we can make the meeting a blessing. I was in Bombay a few years back and I was teaching the student community there. It was a common meeting and somebody was coming, a boy was coming, and he was inviting people for the Hillsong's program in Bombay. You know what he said? We gave him a time to ask people or, you know, introduce the program. You know what this guy said? Guys, come for the meeting. The Hillsongs, they are coming. You know, we are using the best audio system in Asia. Everybody should come, okay? I heard it, my friends. Why all the people should come for the meeting? Because we are using the best audio system in Asia. What's it? We are trying to replace Holy Spirit with technology. What we need is Holy Spirit. I'm not against using good sound system. I like it. But it is not, you cannot replace Holy Spirit with any of these things. So the world will always try to change our culture in every aspect, every aspect. And if we yield to it, you know what happens? I told you, you know, when you open the television, the internet, the everything, we follow a modern culture. Even interesting. Somebody came to me for his research, and he was asking about the fashions. And he is making a kind of the differences of the old believers and the new people, the fashions. And he said, what is wrong with fashion? Let's use any kind of dress. It doesn't matter. I said, it matters. He said, what's the problem? I said, for what purpose we were dressing earlier? We were wearing dress to see that other people will not see our body parts. And even we were not allowing them to imagine the body shape. Imagine. It's not exposing. They were not exposing, of course, but even imagining the body shape. But how about us today? We are asking all people to imagine my body shape. So we just want to see that everybody are free to imagine my body shape. And we say it is fashion. There is something we need to understand, even in dressing. That's part of our culture. Culture is not just, you know, earlier we were using sari and blouses or chata and mund and things like that. And now we are using churidar. I have no problem. But for what purpose we are dressing? That is the question. That's the reason why I'm telling that it is not something outside. And it's all the same in music. I'm not asking you to beat a drum. There's no big difference between beating one drum and five drums together. I don't find any difference. So earlier in the churches we were using only one drum. Now, you know, we have six drums together. We are playing. I have no problem. It's all the same. But the question, it's not about the drums or the other things. Or even, you know, clapping your hands, and there's no difference between clapping your hands and raising your hands. There's no difference. But the thing, when we do this, which faculty of ours is satisfied? We know that we have an intelligence, we have emotions, we have, or you know, maybe we'll say that body, soul, and spirit. There's something that satisfies our body, many things satisfies our soul, and only few things satisfies our spirit. Every actions, everything that we do, we need to be alert. Which faculty of my personality is satisfied? Many times, forget about the body, because we know what are the things that satisfies our body. But we fail to differentiate between the soul and the spirit. It is very difficult. We know what are the things that satisfies our body, okay? We know that. It's simple things. Our food, when we satisfy our appetite, and all that kind of things that directly related to, or you know, the senses, through the senses that you are touching or, you know, eating, or all your senses that gives you satisfaction. Many times when you lack love or affection or comfort or things like that, many times when somebody is coming and comforting you, loving you, your soul is satisfied. And also, the soul is satisfied in another way. It is something very close to the spirit, but it ends before it reaches the spirit. That is our ecstasy and exertion. When you're singing songs, when you're singing songs and make your body sweat, and you know, you are dancing and doing things. Most of the time, your soul is satisfied, not the spirit. Your soul is satisfied, not the spirit. It happens even when you sit down. If you are sitting on a floor and beating a drum and singing songs, I'm not saying that modern music or ancient music, it's all the same. Many times inside the church, when we beat a drum and sing a song and clap your hands and exert your body, you know what happens? Your soul is satisfied. It is towards the spirit, but many times it doesn't reach the spirit. So your ecstasy and exertion, it doesn't reach the spirit. It is just on the way to the spirit. And finally, you know, the biggest problem with this kind of thing, the biggest problem with ecstasy, the biggest problem with this kind of satisfaction, you know what happens? You are quenching the thirst of the spirit. Because we all have a thirst in the spirit that is given by the Holy Spirit. You get me? And when you are exerted, when you are, you know, shaking your body and you get into another place, you know what happens? You are satisfied and you are quenching the thirst of the spirit, and you go home with all peace. Maybe it is a little difficult to understand, but this is what is happening many times. So the biggest problem, you are satisfied. It is a pseudo-satisfaction. It's a pseudo-satisfaction. So what happens? You go home very peacefully. You go home very peacefully. But your spirit is still starving. It is still starving, and you're not getting anything in the spirit. What the spirit lacks, you fail to get it because you satisfy your soul. Soul satisfaction happens not only in a church. Soul satisfaction happens even in a club. Soul satisfaction happens not only in Christianity. Soul satisfaction happens even in heathen religion. Their soul is satisfied when people are going to Sabarimala and sing songs and all. Their soul is satisfied. Their soul is satisfied. This is a big, what do you say, deception. It's a big deception. But we need to make sure that it is not putting an end before it reaches the Holy Spirit or the Spirit within us. I used to tell many places, I said that in these days the worship is just like the modern worship or even the ancient worship. I'm not just classifying it, but many times the modern worship, you know what happens? It is just like running on a treadmill. You know what is the problem with the treadmill? When you are entering into a treadmill and you start running, right? Maybe it is one kilometer. You see the meter, 1 kilometer. And you know, you are sweating and you are very happy. Oh, 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, 5 kilometers. Oh, very good. Today I could run 5 kilometers. You are very much satisfied. And when you step down from the treadmill, you understand you are standing at the same place. You get me, my friends? This is what is happening in modern worship. You are satisfying your soul, and when you step down, when you get out of the church hall, then you see that you are standing at the same place. No change, no transformation, nothing. This is a deception. This is a deception. This is where we need to be alert in changing the culture. And all these things were happening to Daniel. But many things he could not, you know, change. Because the other people were calling him Belshazzar, not he himself. Because they do not know our identity with God. Okay? This is where we need to understand what is the remedy or what we can do. The other people call Daniel Belshazzar. But have you ever seen, when you read the Bible, can you see Daniel is calling himself Belshazzar? No. Maybe other people call us anything. Maybe other people do anything upon us. Maybe the other people try to change our names or our identity and everything. But you need to keep your identity in relation with God all the time. That's where when the culture changes, I'm not swayed with that. Daniel knew where to draw a line. Then, about all the other things, Daniel always wanted to keep his identity in relation with God. All the other people, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they were all bold. And again, we see that the king wanted them to eat from his own table. That is some kind of, you know, a difficult situation. When other people are calling us in some other name, maybe we can just ignore it. We need to ignore it because your identity is not depending upon the other people's understanding. Maybe other people call you anything. Doesn't matter. You need to have a confidence in you, who you are. I'm a child of God. Okay? We find our identity not in our understanding, but we find our identity in seeing how people see us. Don't worry about that. You need not worry about what the other people are saying about you. What is the understanding of other people about you? Always keep your identity clean. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And then when he was supposed to take food, which is offered to the idol, that's the biggest problem that he was facing there. Verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's rich food or with the wine which he drank. Daniel resolved. It's a resolution. Resolved. He is not saying, yeah, if God allows me and if everything is okay, then maybe I will keep myself away from the food. No. He resolved that he made a decision that let anything happen, I will never allow myself or I will never defile myself by taking part of the king's table, because the food that is served on the king's table, it is offered to the idols. I will never do that. So he resolved that I will never defile. I will not defile myself with the food. It's the same thing that we need to do in a changing world. When the world is trying to change us, our culture, our spirituality, everything, we need to resolve. It's not that, Lord, I hope I will be able to do this. No. Certainly you can, but you need to take a decision that you will never defile yourself. When you go to your campus, you are tempted to follow the culture, language, letter of the world. Because to the world, that is normal. But we are called not to be a normal person, but we are called to live a holy life, a separate life, a different life. We need to be different. We need to be godly. We need to keep an identity in relation with our God. So let the culture be changed. Forget about it. Let other people call you anything. Forget about it. Let other people try to trap you in taking part from the worldly things. You need to be alert. You get me? The things that others are doing, we cannot change them, right? You cannot change the people. Let those people, the worldly people, call you anything. Let the worldly people think about you anything. But you need to keep your identity in relation with God. I'm a child of God. and should not be swayed to the culture of this world. Always try to be different. Being different, you need courage to become different, right? You need to be a courageous person. Courage. You need courage to change yourself. You need courage not to change yourself also. Sometimes people say, oh, we need courage to change ourselves. But we need more courage not to change ourselves. That's where you prove that you are a child of God. That's what we need. We need to take a decision that I will never defile myself. I just want you to bow down your head. 1 minute, just 1 minute. The world will certainly ask you to change. But we are different. Our identity is in relationship with God, not with things of this world. The world says you are not normal. Yes, that is a fact. You are not normal. You are called out of the world. Even though you are living in this world, you are not of the world. Many times we are tempted to see that the world loves us. And that's the reason why we are trying to become like the worldly people. But the world will love only those who belong to the world. So we need to see that we are different and keep a change. We need to see that we are keeping a counterculture. The world has lost every kind of hope in itself. But still, the world wants to see that it is taking away, carrying away even the saintly people. The world will play all kind of games upon you. Craftiness. Be careful. And we need to take a decision that we will never defile ourselves. Can you just say, Lord, I will not defile myself with the things of this world. I will keep my identity in relation with God. If you want to pray that, just raise your hands and say, Lord, I want to continue as a child of God. I want to keep my identity as a child of God. I want to see that I'm related to you, O God. I will never define myself and lose my identity as a child of God. Yes, Lord. I will never define myself with the things of this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.